All right. Okay, hello everybody. My name is Anush. I'm with PM with Windows Security PKI Group. And the last hour of this talk, we will talk about auto-enrollment, certificate auto-enrollment. The agenda for today's talk is to start with an overview of what certificate auto-enrollment is about. And I'm just going to skip through that real quick and get to the use cases. Hopefully, you will get understanding what are the interesting scenarios that are enabled as part of this task. And once we have a good idea what the big picture is about, then we'll work on to the details of this task and how it's actually implemented. Hopefully, with this flow, you'll understand the logic behind those steps. you can think of this part of the talk as more of a end-to-end scenarios that are enabled on top of the two stacks that we talked about for the past 2 hours. And hopefully, this will give you more insight to the protocol stacks that we talked about. So what is auto-enrollment? So auto-enrollment, which will be abbreviated to AE throughout this deck, is basically a scheduled task. And what it does is a way to automate the management of the certificate throughout this life cycle. It basically starts from the time that you request for a certificate, and it's there to renew it when it's close to expire, remove it from the local storage when the certificate is actually expired, and does all these beautiful management things throughout the life cycle. If you want to describe it in a couple of sentences, auto-enrollment uses a local configuration or group policy to retrieve the certificate enrollment policy. And that's the starting point for any enrollment, to understand which templates are available for the computer or the user, and then which CAs actually issues those. So once the auto-enrollment has that information, it will go back and tries to retrieve the local certificate storage. Using that, basically try to understand or enumerate the templates that the computer has permission to enroll for, but already does not have a certificate corresponding to that template. Also, what it does is tries to understand which templates or which certificates are close to expire. So it creates a list of things to do, or the request that needs to be generated, and next it just requests for them. And what protocol stack it uses depends on the SEP and uses the information in the SEP to understand which protocol to use. The document that talks about this is called MS-KISO. This was authored within the last year, this was not present in the previous BlockFest presentation. And so it's something new we have this year. And it basically focuses on computer certificates. And I encourage you guys to go ahead and read that. This talk is not only about computer certificates, but the document is. So as I said earlier, my goal is to jump into the use cases and see what happens underneath, and then go back to the details of how this task is actually logically implemented. So let's start with a new certificate request. So it starts with a CA admin, implements a new issues a new template for a CA to issue. And this will be denoted by this blue cert here. Once auto-enrollment is triggered, which can happen due to many different reasons, the easiest way is that there's an 8-hour timer, basically triggers auto-enrollment. This 8-hour period can be changed through group policy. And there are other ways to do that, like if the machine boots up, or if the user logs on, or if the machine joins the domain. I will talk about this later on. But somehow, the auto-enrollment is triggered. The first step for it is to retrieve the certificate enrollment policies, or the SEP. Now, how to find those SEPs, I'll talk about it later on. But for now, let's stick with that. The next thing for the auto-enrollment is to basically go back to the local certificate storage and try to examine and see which of these templates that it just receives through a SEP actually do not have a corresponding certificate in this local storage. And once those are enumerated, the auto-enrollment will simply generate requests for each of them and submits them to the CA. Again, the endpoint information for those CAs are already included in the SEP. So he does that, and assuming that the user or the computer has enough permission on that template, the CA simply issues the certificate and sends it back to the user. And at this point, the auto-enrollment will simply put it back into the local storage. So that's a very simple, one of the most basic thing that the auto-enrollment could do. Simply enroll the machine in all the certificates it's entitled to. Now, imagine a machine that recently joins a domain that will trigger basically auto-enrollment, and very nicely, all the certificates that are supposed to be issued to that certificate will be automatically downloaded to his machine or to his local certificate storage. So this kind of, and there's no user interaction involved. And that's one of the nice things that could be enabled as part of auto-enrollment. Is there any question for this so far? Make sense? Cool. Okay. The next thing is certificate renewal. Larry talked about this. Basically, certificates are valid for a certain time, and they're about to expire. So auto-enrollment can help the end users to renew their certificate without any user interaction. And here's how it works. Basically, once the auto-enrollment is triggered, because of the timer, for example, it again retrieves the policies or the SEPs, and then goes back to the local certificate storage and figures, hey, there are some certificates that are about to expire. So what it does is creates requests for those that are close to expire, and the CA simply renews those cert. Again, the user is not aware of any of these, and the certificate gets to be renewed without any user interaction. The measure that the auto-enrollment use to figure out which certificates are close to expire is a mixture of two parameters. One, there is, as Larry mentioned, is a flag on a template called the renewal period, which shows that how much time before the certificate expires the auto-enrollment should request for renewal, right? And what auto-enrollment does is to do the minimum of that renewal interval and the last 20% of the lifetime of the certificate, whichever is shorter, will choose that period to request for renewal of the certificate. So for example, if you have a certificate that is valid for a year, the 20% of this lifetime would be the last 2.5 months. If you set the renewal period to 10 months before expiration, auto-enrollment will simply ignore that because it's too far away and just wait for the last 2 months of this lifetime and then randomly chooses a time in the last 2 months and try to renew the certificate. If, however, you put it for the last month, if you put the renewal period for the last month of the certificate, the auto-enrollment will wait until the very last time and then pick a random time in that period to renew. The reason we pick a random time is because of performance. We don't want them to be all renewed at the same time. So is there any questions so far about the logic? Go ahead, please.
Renewal or enrollment, is it one certificate per message? Can you request more than one certificate at a time?
Per each, so let's say a CMC or CMS message, you only can have one request per each package. The question is, if there are two certificate enrollment policies, what is the logic behind it? That's a really good question. I was going to cover that later, but I can briefly mention. So if there are multiple steps, what auto-enrollment, that's not the question.
Two certificates. I have two certificates.
Okay.
Well, both of them have auto-enrollment flags on.
Okay.
And I log on, for example. The user
okay.
Is us. Are they all sent in one request to WCC, or are they two?
Oh, I see. So the question is, if there are multiple certificates that are about to expire, what happens? Is it only one request that is sent to the CA, or is it multiple? So every CMC package can only have one PK10 request in it. So the short answer to your question, there will be two requests sent to the CA. Is that clear to everybody, the question and the answer?
All required requests in any given instance, right? So when it runs every 8 hours, if you need to renew three certificates at that time, it'll do three requests. And if the next time, it'll only do one or whatever is necessary.
Great. Thanks, Larry. Okay, so moving on. Oh, yeah. And one other thing that I forgot to mention is once the certificates are renewed, the old ones are not required anymore, so other enrollment will simply delete them from the local certificate storage.
Is the private key still available to do decryption, for example, if you've deleted the old certificate?
That's a very good question. So it's about the private key. And so it depends, right? For some of the certificates, for example, for the encryption, you may want to archive that certificate for later uses. For the others, you don't need. There is a flag on a template that tells Autonomy what to do with the old certificate, whether to delete it or archive it.
Okay. Does that imply whether the certificate's not actually needed in order to decrypt, right? You just need the private key. But is the certificate required by CAPI in order to find the private key? Or I'm just thinking if you've got old emails, some of your emails are encrypted with an old key and some with a new key. Can you still decrypt them?
I think really that depends upon the application, but typically in Microsoft environments, when things like SMIME and EFS, yes, that certificate is needed as well as the private key. Now, when Anoush talked about deleting the renewed certificates, we need to make sure that we're clear that is a template option. It's not automatically configured, and if the template is defined for encryption as the key purpose, then that option to delete those certificates is not enabled. So the deletion is only for signature and authentication type certs that have no purpose once they've expired or once they've been revoked, right? For encryption certs, you're simply referred to as archived, different than key archival in CA. Archived in this case means it's simply basically hidden from the normal view within the certificate store, although it's still present and still available for use. So for encryption certs, yes, they are still available. Long after they've expired, they can still be used for decryption operations, just not for new encryption operations.
Okay, thanks. Makes sense.
So what is the number of certificates you have seen in your experience that need renewing on a machine? For instance, take a TS server. It may have hundreds of certificates. Is that okay in this scheme where you are renewing one at a time?
Hypothetically, I mean, yes, I think you could just go through.
You haven't seen the problem of scalability.
So TS server, although as a whole it has a lot of certificates, each user has its own, right? So Autonomy will actually be dealing with just one certificate, right? So there's a computer Autonomy user, and for user, when the user will log in to TS server, it'll be one certificate in the store, really. As far as the store scalability, I think for any real deployments today, we're pretty good, except for maybe some of the web, like hosting scenarios. But any realistic computer or user will have enough performance out of our stuff, right? Yeah. Hundreds is definitely not a problem. I know our tests use for autonomic tests probably have like hundreds of templates that they test on, for all the negative and positive test cases.
Thanks.
I have a similar question to what Mike was asking, where the user logs onto another system. So it went on system one, logged on, got auto enrolled, got a certificate in. Now logs off, goes to another system, and there the local store does not have the certificate because we are not using roaming profile. Would we get another certificate?
There is a template that says, well, if there's a setting on a template that says check for the duplicates in Active Directory, and if the user has already enrolled in one,
right,
then do not do it again. If you don't set that flag, yes, every machine that it goes will pull all this.
How does a private key move from system 1 to system 2?
What do you mean? Like,
it doesn't just
different keys for.
There is a capability for that. It's called the credential roaming. It's something very different from auto-enrollment. It's not involved in the process, but it is something that is available and can be implemented in your environment. Basically, it's a subset of roaming profiles that has been built specifically for identity and key information that can roam with the user. So in that case, yeah, obviously it's not really efficient to enroll for a new encryption cert on every workstation that the user might log onto, and so that can really provide some benefit there. For things like authentication and signature certificates, though, it's probably not so necessary because you can have as many certificates as you want, and each of them will be able to function just as the other one, and there's no real reliance on any individual certificate like there might be in an encryption type of scenario.
So getting back to your question, so for example, if you have multiple machines and you enroll from the S-MIME, for example, and you send an email from one machine, you need to remember which machine you use. So yeah, there might be, yeah. So okay, if there's no other question, I'm going to move on with the next use case. Okay. So pending certificate requests, I guess we talked about this. In many scenarios, the enterprise may have some valuable certificates. For example, key recovery agents, right? Those are the certificates that the agent could simply go and retrieve all the private keys from the CA database. And so the CA admin will decide, well, I'm not going to issue the cert to whoever asks it for. I'm going to need more further out-of-band verification, for example, driver's license or face-to-face. So those are the certificates that will be marked as pending, right? The issuer will not issue them quickly as it receives the request. Other enrollment will help to finish this cycle, right? Let's see how it works. So basically, let's assume that the CA is configured to issue a template that requires CA admin before it's issued, right? And let's assume that the A is triggered. It's been 8 hours since then. And so again, A will retrieve the SEPs and figures out, oh, there is a new template for me, right? And so basically creates the request for it. Now, the difference here is, since it's not supposed to issue, the CA is not supposed to issue the template, the certificate right away, it will be marked as pending. And it will be stored in the CA database. Also, the auto enrollment will be notified of this, and the auto enrollment will also make a copy of this request in a local storage. So next time it's retriggered, let's say before A is triggered again, the CA admin will come and look up, oh, there is a certificate request here, does whatever he needs to do, and says, okay, you're good to go, and issues a cert, right? So next time that the A is triggered, the same process will happen. The SEP will be retrieved, the local storage will be examined, I cut those out, but simply figure out, oh, there is a pending request in a table in the local storage. So it pings CA, says, what happened with my request? And since the CA admin already approved the request, the certificate will be issued and sent back to the user. Now, in case the admin did not get to the request in between these 2 8-hour, the CA will get back and says, oh, I'm still pending. I don't have a decision for you. So the autonomer will keep on trying and trying until he gets an answer, right? And it will continue trying for another 60 days before it gives up, but doesn't give up totally. What it's going to do is to basically delete the previous request and create a whole new request. So it's a very consistent agent. So that's how it works. That's how autonomer will help us here. Is there any question about this scenario use case? Superseding template. So many scenarios, we have the two different companies merged together, right? And they have different templates with maybe the same template with different names, right? One calls it copy a web server, the other calls it SSO cert. But they're essentially the same template. And once they merge, the CA admin do not want to manage so many different templates which are essentially the same. So what he can do is to supersede all of these same templates with one template, and ask everybody to enroll against that one. So you can only manage one template. And that's the idea behind superseding. It can also be used when you update the version number from a certificate from 1 to 2. You can use this to supersede. So let's see how that works. The CA designs a new template, right? And decides to basically supersede the green template with the blue one, right? Next time that the auto-enrollment is triggered and the policy SEP is retrieved, the local storage is examined and figured, oh, there is a blue cert for me, there's a new blue template for me that I can enroll for, right? So it will create a request. At this point, he doesn't know anything about superseding, right? He just sees a new template and just goes for it. And it creates the request, sends it to the CA, and assuming everything is, the user has permission or the computer, it will receive the certificate. Now, what happens next is this certificate will be stored in a local storage. But as part of its logic, in this template, so let me back up and give you one more piece of information. When you supersede a template, there is a tab on the template that says which template has been superseded by the current template, right? So this blue cert that was here had a reference to this green cert that this has been superseded by me. So once this certificate based on that template is received by the client, it will look at that tab and says, oh, the green one is not valid anymore. It's been superseded. So the auto-enrollment will simply delete it from the local storage. So that's again, how auto-enrollment will help us throughout this use case. And it basically helps to remove all the certificates based on superseded template. There is a question.
Is the, so when there's a new template superseding an old one, does so the client side will always, it could immediately, as soon as it notices it, it requests a new certificate? It doesn't wait till expiry and then use the new template?
Yes, it does. So as far as it sees a new template, it goes for it, retrieves a certificate, and says, oh, the template that this was issued on had a superseded template, and then goes
so
back.
So I need a new cert right away?
Right away, yes.
And the second question is related to the old certificate being deleted. Again, if it's an encryption cert, it would stay there if it's needed?
Exactly. The same, okay. Remember the flag we talked about? The same idea applies to here. So whenever I said delete, keep that template in mind, that flag on the template, and it applies to all of them.
Fair enough. Okay, thanks.
Sure.
In fact, our configuration UI for the template actually prevents you from setting that deletion flag on a template that is for encryption certificates. So we know about this problem, and we're trying to, you know, do everything to avoid that. Right.
Thank you, Alex. Go ahead, please.
So it seems to me that this logic is not really about auto-enrollment. It is about superseding, and it may happen without auto-enrollment as well, right?
Well, I mean,
it may happen at some other time. Even if I don't set auto-enrollment, you might set up superseding, and things might have to be done this way.
Well, if you notice, the logic that actually figures this has been superseded happens once you get the certificate, right? And that's part of the logic of auto-enrollment, to go back and check on that tab on the template to see which certificates actually have been superseded. So answering, if you don't have auto-enrollment,
No, so there is no other code that will try to identify the superseding relationship outside of enrollment. So our APIs, if you're going to use our APIs or tools to manually enroll for a certificate that has been superseded, we will not block you and we'll get you that certificate. If you still have the permissions to get it, you'll get it. And CA also will not block you from getting the old certificate.
Okay.
So only it's really a client-only logic that says, I have a certificate for template A. It's no longer the latest template. Let's get a better certificate.
I see. Okay.
Any other question? All right. Okay. All right. So we have enumerated four use cases so far, creating a new request, renewing the certificate, superseding, and what was the third one? Anyhow, the last three, there are three other scenarios that are also interesting. I'm not going to go through the details. I'm just going to briefly mention what they are. First one is forcing re-enrollment. Basically, at any point, the admin might require all the machines or all the computers or the users enroll for the same template again, right? And the way this happens is basically the administrator could increase the version number of the template, and this will force every member of that domain to re-enroll for that certificate. Again, auto-enrollment has the logic that identifies this and basically takes the appropriate actions. Another scenario is, so many times the users will be required to provide the subject or subject alt name for a certificate. Let's say you wanted to set up a web server with SSL connection, right? And we can set up a template where you have to provide your own subject name. It could be the DNS name of the server name which hosts the web server, and then you can get the cert, right? So this is good to set up this SSL connection, but in a year when the certificate is expiring, you don't want your web server, your website to go down because the cert has been expired. We have included a logic in Windows 7 that can renew those certs automatically, so your web server could be always up. The way this happens is basically there is a flag that says if you have an old cert that already has a subject and subject alt name in it, you can use that to renew your request, right? So the initial request, you have to provide the subject or subject alt name. But once you do it once and you get the cert, after that, the auto-enrollment will just go and take the subject or subject alt name from the old cert and put it in the new request, and everything will be done. This is a feature of Windows 7, Windows 2008, Server 2008 R2. It's not available in the previous version. So that's also another interesting scenario. It's very interesting for SSL certs. Another one is for the registration authority cases. So I think Larry talked about this. In Microsoft, if you want to get your certificates and your badge, you have to go to Building 92, meet with the person, get your ID, you know, and he's going to use his own smart card. It could be a painful process. But once you get it once, next you're going to have to go back there again, right? The auto-enrollment will simply renew your certificates. And for that to happen, there must be a flag on this template that says, if you already have a cert that was pre-approved previously, you can use that to sign your request. So auto-enrollment could simply renew your cert without having to go back to that Building 92, for example. So this is another scenario that is auto-enrollment could help to automate the lifecycle management. So these are the 7 use cases that I had, which kind of motivates the usage of auto-enrollment. In the next couple of slides, I will try to open the hood and try to see what's going on underneath there. Before there, is there any question about the use cases? Okay. So we have talked about a couple of protocol stacks, right? In the next 2 slides, I will try to give you a wide-based relationship between auto-enrollment and those protocol stacks. I will start with their standalone environment, right? So auto-enrollment can work with standalone CAs, but this is only assuming that you have Windows 7 or Windows Server 2008 R2. Here's how it works. So you have, this is your local machine, right? And this is where auto-enrollment resides. The first important point for any enrollment protocol is to understand where to retrieve the certificate enrollment policies, right? That's what it tells, where the templates, who issues the templates. That's the most important information. So for the auto-enrollment to be able to retrieve those steps, it has to know where the steps are. And this happens through the local configuration, right? So local configuration are used to retrieve the certificate, the step server endpoints. And in order to configure this, you assume there's always an admin tool that can set that up. So once this is set, then auto-enrollment will have a way to contact the step server, could be multiple of them, and then retrieve the steps, and then do the, you know, retrieve the local certificate storage or key storage to figure out which templates the user or the computer can enroll for. And then using that, it will contact the CES server and basically enrolls for the certificate. This is, again, a proxy for the CA. So that's the white-byte relationship for a standalone CA, right? When you move on to the domain environment, the picture gets a little bit more involved. The local configuration which was used to retrieve the SEP server information can now also be modified by a group policy client. And this group policy client, you know, in return is updated with the group policy for the domain, right? So that's one new addition here. That's another point where you can set the SEP server points here. Now, in addition to all the SEP servers you may have, which is, again, multiple, you can also use a domain controller. Remember, this was the behavior before Windows 7, right? You know where the templates are in the Active Directory. There's a known location for it. And then the only actual information you need from the SEP is the endpoint information for the CA. So you simply contact the domain controller to retrieve that information. So now, in after Windows 7, so you can have this whole setting, right? You can use either the domain controller, where the SEP information is LDAP, backslash, which means the domain contact domain controller for CA information, or it could be multiple SEP servers. And so the auto-enrollment will have an option to retrieve multiple certificate enrollment policies. Now, in case there's multiple SEPs, what auto-enrollment will do is simply go through all of them and retrieve all the steps from each of them, and then try to figure out which templates there is no corresponding certificate in local storage. Now, each template can be issued by more than one CA, right? So it will kind of list those CAs as well and kind of go through them as in a known manner, trying to optimize certain performance. I'm not going to go through the details, but that's the logic. So you may have more than one SEP server and similarly more than one CES server. So again, the difference between this slide and the previous one is the introduction of this guy, and you may have, and that's the domain controller as a SEP provider. Any question on these 2 slides? Okay. So in the last couple of slides, I will kind of walk you through the workflow for certificate non-enrollment as a kind of a pseudocode. So the first thing that happens is that auto-enrollment is triggered, right? And this could happen as when the computer starts up, the users log on, interactive log on, the group policy update, there's an 8-hour timer that you can configure, or you can even do it manually, or when you join a domain. All of these will actually trigger auto-enrollment. When auto-enrollment is actually triggered, the first thing that happens is that it has to figure out the settings, like what are the things you're supposed to do. And through that local configuration, which I had in the white-bytes relationship, it will enumerate whether it's whether disabled or enabled. And if enabled, what are the things you're supposed to do? Is auto-enrollment only supposed to renew or renew the old certificates and request for new certificates? Is it also supposed to renew those certificates where the user was supposed to provide the subject name and subject alt name? Remember, for the SSO certs? Or is it also supposed to retrieve the pending request? So all of this is configurable and can be turned on and off. So once it knows what are the settings, then it will basically retrieve all the domain issuer certificates. Those are the CA certificates, which are the intermediate CAs. Those are, well, could be the root CAs, and also the key archival CA certificates, if you want to do key archival. And stores them in local storage, of course. Next, it will obtain the SEPs. There are two methods that this could happen. Before Windows 7, this was the only way possible. You basically go to the Active Directory, you go to Domain Controller, and figure out who's a CA in your domain. The templates are in known location in the Active Directory. So that's it, that's your SEP. SEP is nothing but a set of templates and who issues them. After Windows 7, you have the advanced mode of obtaining SEPs. Now, here, instead of just going to domain controller to figure out who is a CA, you use group policy or local configuration to figure out who are the SEP servers, right? And retrieve the SEPs, which are basically XML files, and figure out which templates and are there available for you and who actually issues them to you. They could also be one active the domain controller, right? If this is also one possibility. So these are the two modes. Then the local stores are opened and read. And based on that, it will be decided what's the next step, right? If there's pending requests, if there are old certs that needs to be renewed, or if there are new certs that needs to be requested for. So all these are enumerated, and based on that, the appropriate action is taken. And once the certificates are received from the CA, they will be updated in the local storage. Also, those certs that are not required anymore will be deleted. Those are the expired ones, the revoked one, or the superseded one. I mean, again, delete/archive based on that template configuration. So that's the workflow of how auto-enrollment works. If in case the user is actually leaving the domain, the workflow is different, right? And here, basically, the auto-enrollment will simply delete all the certs from the end, for all the basically issuer certs from the local storage, but you will leave the end entity certificates intact, right? So which makes sense, because you're not part of that domain anymore, you don't have to trust the root CAs. And with that, I will go to the last part of my talk, which is the product behavior. So far, is there any question about the workflow? Make sense?
So how often is the group policy updated?
I mean, it depends, right? I mean, the 8-hour timer is one hint, right? But it depends on...
No, I mean the group policy, not the auto-enrollment trigger. The policy itself. So I saw one thing there which said that when the machine starts up, you apply machine policy, right? Well, the machine may not start up for years.
I was talking about the trigger, like how auto-enrollment is triggered, right? One way for it.
Yeah, but I'm asking a different question.
I'll take this one. So, group policy on. There have been different defaults through Windows versions. 8 hours has been for the client compute, for client's queues for a long time. I know the server had more frequent updates for group policy, right? I believe it was like 90 minutes.
Hours.
Right, okay. Yeah, but it's also as far as machine hasn't started for a year, auto-enrollment hasn't run in a year then. So you're basically off.
Really?
the machine hasn't started, right, and it can't get updated policy.
No, I mean the machine is up for a year, is what I'm saying.
It'll update itself. According to whatever the administrator has defined group policy refresh should be, by default, it's any data.
Right.
Okay. So the last slide, we'll talk about the different behaviors. So auto-enrollment is only possible for non-domain joined machine after Windows 7. So you cannot do auto-enrollment before that because you only have the basic initialization for SEPs. The other main difference is basically you need Windows XP Plus for this to work, except for Windows 2000. I mean, you can also do it with Windows 2000, but Windows 2000 does not support group policy, right? So you cannot change the SEP server information through group policy. It does not support registration authority scenario or superseding templates. There are more details. If you go to the CAISO in the appendix, there's a thorough list of things that are different across the products. But this, just keep in mind that for auto-renewal for non-domain joined machines is only possible for Windows 7 and beyond. Well, that concludes my talk. If there are questions, I'd be happy
to. So one interesting concept here is in light of direct access, what changes do you envisage in the way this thing works? Because a machine could be in the domain, then it might go out, but still be connected to the domain and so on and so forth. Is there any change? I don't see it, but it's possible that that machine may not have accessibility to the corpnet for some time yet. So, in other words, in presence of direct access, is there any change to everything that we talked about this morning?
Well, I'm not an expert direct access, so I'll be making some assumptions. Correct me if I'm wrong. So, direct access uses IPsec certificates. I know one mode is when they actually use NAP to attest to the health and get the certificate. So in that case, auto-enrollment actually is not used. They are the one. So there's an NAP agent is the one that actually enrolls for a certificate. Now, if NAP is not used with direct access, it is true that you either, I'm not sure if they require your CA to be deployed in DMZ or not to get those certificates. If they're not, then I would say, yes, if your machine certificate expires, you're out of luck. You need somehow some other way to refresh it. I don't think it would be a big deal to have a special purpose CA in the DMZ. It's probably even better if you have the web service in the DMZ. That's probably even easier.
Yeah, I mean, in direct access, what they have is a direct access server is the only thing that is supposed to be there in the DMZ. In order to kind of let you through, I believe that's what it is.
For direct access, true, but for NAP, which can be used in conjunction with direct access, then you have to have the HRA, the Health Registration Authority, accessible. And I think that's the proxy to the CA.
Right, exactly. In that case, the HRA would be the proxy, correct. But without NAP, yeah, again, I'm just not sure exactly what their deployment details. But yes, either you'll have to have a CA somewhat. So they do have these two, they fragment the network, right, in two tiers. So it's not really just like a DMZ, but you get access to direct access server. I think they tell you get an access to ROD, read-only DC, maybe some remediation servers if you need to get the updates and that kind of stuff. So. In that case, again, HRA is probably the easiest way to expose the CA in that scenario.
Okay. There's no question. I guess that's it. Thank you for your time, guys.
One more thing I want to add is whatever they do it with RCA, and we don't have any special logic in RCA to say, oh, am I direct access CA? So if you implement whatever our protocol says, you should be deployable for direct access purposes.
That was really the point.
Yes.